What's good, everybody? Welcome back to a special episode of Let's Talk Tech. I'm your host, HD. We got none other than the original Davis on the live stream today.
Thank you. Thank you Davis. For having me.
Why we letting everybody get in, man? We already know, you guys probably can't see, it's faintly in the back, but he got a Chiefs board back there. So you already know who you rocking with.
Oh, you already, you better be glad I didn't put on my Super Bowl ring for the whole interview, you know, just like have it. But, you know, I had to show it off since you brought it up. But
that's respect, you know what I'm saying? Maybe that mean, you know, I got to go get, you know, my rings and stuff like that from the real deal, the AFC West, you know, y'all just getting back right.
Hey, you're one of the few people that actually know, like, I'm a true Chiefs fan. Like, it's a lot of people that could easily assume I'm a bandwagoner, but you're one of the witnesses. You know for a fact.
Look, random fact, I got a picture of you and at the intramural with a Chiefs hat on, and you snuck some McDonald's in a shoebox.
That sounds like something I do. That sounds like something I'll do.
Because I used to be strict in that intramural, man.
I forget, man. That's funny. It's probably so many stories we could go back and tell. Some not appropriate for the stream, most definitely. But
yeah, tell these people to hit the like button. But hey, without further ado, man. Hey, Jerry, go ahead and tell, you know, the people in here, you know, a little bit about yourself. Just introduce yourself briefly.
Yeah, so I'm Jerry. I'm from Shreveport. Like Henri, we both went to high school together. Just a little bit about myself. I went to the military immediately after high school. I joined the Air Force. I was a firefighter, so it was very similar, like working in a city fire department, except you worked on the Air Force base. And the other main difference was that you also deal with aircraft. So, you know, there could be fires on an aircraft or rescue situations on aircraft. And then after that, I transitioned to Dallas, Texas. I started working for Best Buy after I got out of the military. And then I started working for Geek Squad. And that's how I kind of transitioned into tech. And that's just a little intro. I'm not going to take up all the time, but we'll go back and touch on all of those as Henri asked me those questions there.
Cool. Yeah, I remember, you know, back in the days, I think, didn't you have like, so when you were in the Air Force, I know everybody has like drill and whatnot.
Right.
So on those weekends you had drill, was that also when you had to go work as well?
Right. So the first weekend of the month, when you're in the Air Force Reserve or in the National Guard or, you know, any of those type of weekend warrior type of deals in the military, normally like the first weekend of the month is when you go in. And so I would go to the fire department and we would do types of trainings and stuff like that and keep our certifications up to date. Now, when I would really work full time at the fire department is like during the summer. Like, so like we would be in school at Tech and like I would just spend the whole summer like working 24 on 48 off or 24 on 24 off during the time. And basically just work there on the base because they would deploy people to the fire departments right in the desert and they needed reservists to backfill the active duty stations. So that's basically where I made my summer money is firefighting full time on the base.
Look at this, man.
What?
Shout out to that boy, Joey.
Yeah, you know, I got to keep it smooth, man. I just bought some fresh blades about 2 days ago. So this is a 2 day old shave you're watching right here.
Shout out to that boy, Sinbad, man. So speaking of that, going to that with the Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, briefly, I know you had, like you said, a lot of stories when it comes to college. But since you did end up transitioning, what was your major, you know, originally when you were in school?
So originally when I was in school, I came to Rustin at 19. Like I said, I had skipped, you know, like normally, you know, people go straight to college. I had that year in between in the military. So I came to Tech with a pseudo interest in kinesiology because I had to major in something, right? And so I really didn't know what I wanted to do at the time. And, you know, that's something that I think a lot of people that if I had to talk to people just, you know, getting out of high school or maybe in their early 20s, it's OK to not know what you want to do. I really wanted to like make sure I have a point to say that And it's okay to take time to figure that out. And that's what I had to do. And so, yeah, but anyway, to kind of answer the question, my main interest when I got to Louisiana Tech was in kinesiology.
Yeah. Funny that you say that. I think it is good to say it's okay. You have time to know what you want to do, because you're asking a lot out of a younger kid.
Right.
To know what they want to do. I mean, sometimes you know what you want to do at an early age because it's like something, I don't want to say simple, because if I say like something like, you know, going into like, you know, medical school or something like that, it's simple. But I mean, it's like your path is clear cut. You know exactly what you got to do to get to your end goal.
Right.
But other occupations, sometimes it's not as clear cut, nor do you know the people in those occupations or have you been exposed to them. And that's why some kids, I know, I have two younger brothers now that's at Huntington. One's a junior, one's a sophomore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I've been asking the older brother, like, hey, you know what you want to do? And he probably not watching this right now, but he said, yeah, I think I want to do engineering. And so I asked him, I said, hey, why you want to do engineering? He said, I don't know. I didn't know what to pick. I was like, no, we're going to try to go off of things that interest you and what you like to make sure you're just not in school, be in school.
And I was right, because like, that's the mistake I made for sure. Like, I was definitely not passionate about that at all.
Yeah, and I was telling them, I was roommates with people that were like engineers, and I didn't used to see them. You know, they were busy. So I'm like, unless that's something you really dedicated to, I don't know if you really want to do that.
Right. Yeah. We've seen many come and many fall at the steps of engineering at Tech, for sure.
Yeah, the quarter system ain't no joke.
Right, most definitely.
Matter of fact, it's Joey fault. Joey told me, he was like, hey, folks, if you lose tops, you ain't getting it back. I ain't never get top that.
Word to the wise, man.
So you brought up that that you moved from, you know, 318 area, we'll just say that, and you moved to Dallas.
Right.
Can we explain to the listeners that, you know, just because we say we in Dallas, we not in Dallas?
Oh, so you want me to give like specifically where I am? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like kind of tell me, not two things, like your address or nothing, but like area.
Right. Yeah, so I actually live in Denton, so it's like a suburb north of Dallas. But I just say Dallas because, I mean, I've been out to California, and, you know, people that live in Diamond Bar say Los Angeles, and, you know, people that live in Venice say Los Angeles. There's a bunch of different areas, but I think it's easy to say Dallas. But I'm not ashamed to say I'm from Denton, you know, UNT, home of the Mean Green right up the street. So,
well, it wasn't that. It's because, you know, think about it. Everybody, if they're on Facebook or something right now, all right, everybody, they moved from Shreveport to Dallas and this and that. And
right.
I try to tell people, I was like, okay, it's cool. But I don't think they really understand how big of a difference it is when you move.
Yeah. It's definitely, I think, and I mean, I'm even still kind of branching out more now as I like kind of like get into my, you know, my computer networking career. I'm want to put more feelers out across the country instead of just trying to stay in the South. You know, that was my thing kind of in my earlier 20s. I always wanted to stay in the South and be near my family and things like that. So, you know, it's definitely good to branch out and get out of your hometown if you can.
I went on record telling my mom that I wasn't going to move to Texas. So I was like, nah, I'm staying here today. But that's when you're kind of like young and naive. I thought the company I was at now, back then, CSRA, which is now GDIT, I was under the assumption that I was going to be working with them for a while. Like, I was going to move up. I was in la-la land, like what people don't really understand about corporate America. But I figured I was going to move up. I wasn't going to have to move because I had,
right,
you know, a good job. But it didn't work out like that, and I ended up leaving, and it was the best decision I could have made 5 years ago. So
right. And I think we all go through something similar like that. And it's funny because you know, you went straight through school and, you know, and graduated, and kind of, you say you worked and you kind of were in corporate America, and, you know, you felt that ceiling and you were like, this isn't it. But, you know, it's like you kind of like you sold yourself on it going into it. And I did the same with Best Buy when I went over to Geek Squad. And, you know, I had moved into kind of like a supervisor role with Geek Squad. And then, you know, I thought I was just going to continue, and I thought the sky was the limit there. But then, you know, I started to see how limited it was. And then I had already started to pick up an interest in computers, you know, showing you the ones I built earlier. Like I had built those already. And then it kind of just ticked with me that, you know, this is something I'm passionate about. And, you know, that's when I started to look into, you know, the educational opportunities with computer network technology. And man, it's just been off from there, seriously, to the moon, in the words of Elon Musk.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, but to piggyback on what you said, I think I used to want to work at Best Buy when I was in college, but that's because I was getting tired of working at Target.
Right.
Target wasn't giving me them hours I wanted. So I was like, man, I'm going to try to go work at Best Buy. But at the same time, doing retail, like off and on for 3 years, I knew I didn't want to do it. Puts kind of show retail would be my last resort just because of it's customer facing and it's not as rewarding. Like, you really got to work for your money in retail, even if you're a manager. You got to work.
Right. Definitely, man. Definitely. It's that's not a fun ladder to climb at all. So. But some people do it and stick it out and they make good money and that's okay. But that's just not the lifestyle I really want to have.
Definitely. So let's get on some Geek Squad stuff real quick.
Okay.
Well, first, before, let's back up. What made you switch from doing the fire department and then going to the do Geek Squad? What piqued your interest of saying, you know, you want to do something, you know, a change or something like that?
So honestly, just to be real honest, I really just kind of grew disgusted with my career in the fire department, just with the experiences with people there. And I won't get too deep into that. Yeah, just really, really rough experiences with people there. And I was kind of done with that career, but I did know it was something I could fall back on, you know, just in case, like, whatever I wanted to do next didn't work out. I always had that in my back pocket. So I kind of just started applying for jobs. And in Best Buy, really, I wouldn't say it piqued my interest, but it just really was kind of luck of the draw. And I just needed to start working because I knew I was going to move to Texas. Right. And so it just was kind of luck of the draw that I landed there. And that was that. And it just went from there.
That's what's up then, man. Pretty much, you know, shooting all the shots and the one that fell in.
Right, man. Cause I still at the time, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I came out here. Like, I was like, you know, I was still like, I even, you know, like, I was like, maybe I'll just, you know, get general studies, like, just to have something. And, you know, like, I can use this at Best Buy, or I can go back and work at the fire department and like try to work my way up there again, like at a different state. Like, I just was all over the place, you know. So but yeah, everything worked out, man. I'm a strong believer in things will work out for you when the time is right.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on this, the school thing, because, you know, I, with my company now, or even my videos on YouTube, I hear people, you know, they'll type to me all the time saying, oh, do I need a degree to do this and that? And I'll tell them, I said, not really. You know, it's really centered around a company. I said, can a degree help? Yeah, but right. I'm going to say you actually need one. But that also lets me go back into, like, since we all was in Cattle Parish, like, they had the Career Center. And I know Career Center had some of these classes, but it wasn't detailed enough, nor were our counselors. I'm not blaming our counselors, but I guess for the area we're in, since these jobs weren't big there, it was something right. That they didn't really focus on to say, hey, you know, you can go do this. You don't necessarily have to go to school and you can make, you know, a very great living. And you had right. Everybody go ahead.
I was going to say, I think that's that at the time, so when we were in school, right, that was kind of like a generational thing and also a cultural thing, because like with us, like, I mean, you just like look at our parents, like just immediate family, like who really, you know, knows like, you know, about the Python programming language or, you know, what a subnet is or any of those things. So, you know, like we really didn't have like people around us, and nothing against them, but it's just like you don't have people around you that have that foundational knowledge to point you in that direction. And so it's kind of like we're at a loss with that. And I don't know if Joey's still in here, but shout out to him, because he's actually trying to work on, Joey teaches and he's trying to work on something with getting kids into computer technology at an earlier age and, you know, in underprivileged areas.
Yes, definitely shout out to Joy. He's been reaching out to me about that.
Right.
You know, I've been trying to inform him a little bit about that process, because it is It can be tedious. And I got to tell people, I don't really, you know, promise anybody, you know, any miracles or anything like that, but it can definitely be tedious.
Right. But just, I think just getting, like, just giving the kids an opportunity to get their hands on the stuff is awesome in itself. Cause again, that's something that we didn't have the luxury of, you know? So I think that's something that's really cool and a great idea that he has.
Yeah. So now we're moving past that.
Okay.
Since you were in Geek Squad, tell me like some funny like stuff, like probably like the, in your experience, like the dumbest thing somebody brought a computer in there for or something.
So I didn't work behind the counter at Geek Squad. So I worked at their corporate location. It was like an office connected to a warehouse, but it was like, it was one of few like offices across the country that did what we did. Now we did handle some technical issues and things like that, but it was mainly on the logistics side of things that we handled. So I didn't do too much like troubleshooting with computers and stuff like that, but we did get some crazy calls with clients. People buying like Blu-ray players that haven't upgraded to a TV that has HDMI yet, and you know, getting mad and you know, wanting us to send somebody out tomorrow to resolve the issue and things like that. Like that was a very common occurrence. But you know, as far as like stupid technical issues like that, that's probably about as low as it gets right there.
Man, I know for me when I did help desk, that was funny because like right on the time, like I was around leaving, I had somebody argue me down. It was a user that called in. I'm telling them their password, and they're telling me their password is their username.
Wow.
And for those that do help desk, you know, you're not supposed to hang up on people, but I was hanging up on people left and right them last 2 weeks. I'm like, what they going to do, fire me?
Right. It's funny because I think I want to say it's in the A+ book, in the A+ certification book, or at least the one I have like on the first few pages. It says 9 times out of 10, the issue is the user, not the application.
The user error, for yep. Sure.
So that's funny.
I think I was no. It was something the other day with the payment or something like that. For somebody trying to book something with me. And I thought it was something I did, but it was really a user error on their part. And I was like,
right. Yeah. That's normally how it goes, man. That's normally how it goes. It's never as serious as it sounds for the most part. Are you, I'm sorry. And I don't mean to hijack your interview, but I did want to ask,
go ahead.
Excuse me. Are you into, CEH? Like, are you going to get into penetration testing or anything like that? Or
so I got a video on CEH.
Right.
I'm one of the people, well, I'm not few, I'm like more of the majority of people that pretty much says that CEH is really not that good of a cert.
Right.
Only because it's multiple choice. If somebody gave you a test bank or something like that, you study it for like a week, you can go in there and pass the test. Doesn't mean you know how to be an ethical hacker or penetration tester.
Right.
What happens with CEH is some in the government type of jobs want you to have it, that people just push it out because they want to get those contracts with a clearance, or other companies don't really know anything. HR just making job descriptions based on what they've seen, but CEH isn't really that highly regarded. Like, for example, a company I'm using now that I'm trying to do this incident response certification with, eLearn Security, their stuff is way better than CEH because the exam is practical. So it's not even pen and paper, which is cool because a lot of people don't test well with memorizing answers and things like that. So something practical, hands-on, is really the best way to go.
Right. That's cool.
But yeah, no CEH for me. I'll probably stay more for the viewers that don't know, Blue Team has to do like with more with defense when it comes to cybersecurity. So more so defending and making sure that environment is safe and we have all our safety measures covered. So I'll probably be more Blue Team and more probably the next 3 to 4 or 5 years, probably move into management. I'm not really, I kind of manage people a little bit now, but I'm not really to fully manage people because it's a job in itself with grown people. So I don't know if I'm ready for that.
Got you.
But speaking about Geek Squad, I'll spit on that shortly. What after the? I remember you said you start looking into like I think different things within technology when you were introducing yourself. So talk about once you realized the ceiling at Geek Squad, and then what started make you look elsewhere.
Right. So while I was working there, it just like, I mean, it was a place where our scope of work was very malleable. You know, they changed it constantly. And it was frustrating because, you know, they were always, you know, tell you, oh, this is for the better. And, you know, what was the word? Accept challenge and change. That was one of the big things in like their, like, I guess, mission statement. I forget. It's been a year since I worked there. But, you know, our companies had those mission statements. And it's like, oh, sip the Kool-Aid and, you know, everything's going to be OK, you know, type thing. And so accept challenge and change is one of those things. And I mean, you should accept challenge and change, but they used to manipulate it in a way. It's like, you know, we're going to mess you over and change your scope of work and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, just accept this and, you know, we're going to get better from it type thing. So that was becoming really frustrating to me. And then I started to see the ceiling because I was applying for promotions and then starting to realize that like my position that I was in wasn't really like poised to be in a management position throughout the company. Like it wasn't like a plug in fit everywhere in their eyes. And so that kind of made me realize, I was like, I need to start like evaluating my options. And it just kind of hit me. Like I said, I was already interested in computers. And so I had a good friend of mine, Jessica, she came in and told me, and she said, you know, basically you're already interested in this stuff. Why don't you go back to school for it? And I said, you know what? I said, I'm gonna look into that. And, you know, when I was at Tech, you know, I wasn't passionate about, you know, kinesiology at all. You know, I messed around. Henri can tell you that. But now, and I haven't really told anybody this except for my close friends. But now, you know, I'm actually a semester away from graduating with my associates in computer network technology. So that's been something I've been pursuing. And, you know, I want to use that and continue to grow in that career field and in that space.
Man, congrats on that, because I didn't even know that. So that's pretty cool, because I believe that's going to also help you at work. And I'm also a bigger supporter of telling people to actually go to community college first before a 4-year, especially if they want to go the tech route, because they offer like more certs and stuff like that in the community route instead of 4 years.
Right. And that's something that Harold can speak to, too, for those of y'all that are watching, because Harold actually, while I was in the military, Harold actually went to a community college for a year to kind of get his feet wet first. So don't be scared to take that step either. There's really like it's crazy because like people, I think like people older than us kind of were at fault of telling us that there was some like strict path to success, you know, like graduate from high school, go to school again, you know, graduate from there, get a good job. And it's like, it always doesn't work like that for everybody. And, you know, so it's good to kind of carve out your own path and talk to people that kind of like took alternate routes so you can pick and choose what may be best for you. And, you know, you see they were successful. So, you know, that worked for them, so you can make it work for yourself.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I saw something interesting. I don't know if it was on Twitter or LinkedIn, but tech is really more so like not the school, but like the technology, whatever you do with technology. A lot of these jobs are really more like trades instead of like having to go to school for them. And I think they need to start treating them like they are, like, you know, high skilled trades.
Right.
Because you can go do your certs and then you hands on and you pretty much can go work anywhere.
Right. And I mean, and IT is like pretty much a trade within itself at this point. I mean, like you were saying, like how you don't need a college degree to compete, you know, for a job now. I mean, a lot of the people that had their hands in the early development of Facebook didn't graduate from college, you know. So, you know, it's just like stuff like that. You know, people should definitely like look at that and look at their options and not just see like college is the only answer.
Yeah, that's what I believe. I mean, even right now, I'm all for, if you know how to do it, I really don't care about, you know, you got a 4.0, you got all these certs, because I've talked to people that got these certs that don't know how to do the work. Whereas mm-hmm. if somebody who was passionate has kept their head down for like 6 months and can show me and tell me everything I need to know about something, I take that person over the other person. And I know it's not fair because the other person spent a lot of money invested in it, but
right,
we're only paying you for one thing, and that's to do the job. We're not paying right. you to get certs, and I'm not paying you for your ability to memorize. And I think right. that's what's got lost in the sauce when it came to cert chasing. And I'm always telling people, you know, I don't like cert chasing, you know, try to learn. Right. Now, I will say the higher you try to go, and, you know, I don't always like the mix about race, but the higher you do try to go in these fields, you will probably have to have some type of education behind you.
Right.
Because you're going to be like entry level, you know, it's like probably like a wide barrel gun or something like that, shooting out something very big. But then as you get to the top, it's more precise. The applicants are way more experienced, and now you got to have something that sets you apart from right. everybody else. And when it gets to those senior level roles, and you get to be a manager, director, actually you got senior level, then you got principal. I'm trying to see what's at the principal. And we just go on and on, but it starts getting super, super, super competitive. And you either got to have years of experience or really know what you're doing.
Right.
But like I advocate, like one of my friends, I was on the first one, Dayspring. I advocate people now, hey, if you could get, you know, associates and then able to get like a full-time job somewhere within that field, let them pay for the school, you know, you'll be fine. I like to support that method than having people, you know, get all this debt in school because really the government wasn't regulating how much they charge, and now they created a problem.
Right. Most definitely, man. I mean, you've seen it. I was fortunate enough, I mean, to not have to do that. Like the military was paying for my school, even though I was BSing around. Like, so I didn't inherit a lot of debt, but, you know, a lot of people didn't have that luxury. A lot of people we saw went to tech, you know, messed around and, you know, they just paying off debt for nothing. So right. definitely, like, I definitely advise against that mistake if you're not sure what you want to do.
Yeah, man. But now that you got to the ceiling, let's talk about how many, like, jobs did you apply to when you were trying to make that switch from Geek Squad to like an IT job?
I was blessed, man. Just one application. So I had a classmate in my CCNA class at the school I'm attending. He was a manager at the NOC and T-Mobile, and he was, you know, taking a class to look to get his CCNA. And I just was talking to him. And when it was time for me to transition, I just reached out to him, and he helped me right away because, like, he was kind of like my study buddy. So I always helped him with, you know, projects and stuff that we had to do in the CCNA class. So as soon as I reached out to him, man, he had me working in a week and a half. So that was a real blessing. That was an entry level job, and it kind of sucks because my plan was because T-Mobile had just merged with Sprint. And so, you know, after the merger was finalized, I was going to go ahead and get my CCNA and then go ahead and try to move up. But COVID has kind of slowed all of that down. And I'm kind of like a gray face within the team because, you know, I really only worked there for like a month before they sent us home to work remote.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like disappointing. But I'm about to go ahead and schedule my CCNA exam. And like I said, I'm almost through with school now. So I'm going to go ahead and put feelers out since I'm just about done and see, you know, see where my path takes me next.
Yeah, I was definitely going to suggest that you go ahead and schedule that test because it helped you study better.
Right. Most definitely. Yeah, I got a study guide with a Boson. Have you heard of him? I mean, of course, I've taken a course already. So I took it was two semesters. We did CCNA 1 and 2. Then second semester, we did 3 and 4. And then I was supposed to get a 60% off voucher from Cisco. Cisco, I'm still waiting on my voucher, but I sent it off. But they never got back with me. And I'm pretty sure that's something to do with COVID and they got overloaded. But I'm just going to go ahead and pay for it because I'm not going to like delay myself any further, you know, waiting on a coupon. So
Tanisha said something that I was going to touch on. It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Most definitely.
And that's facts. I think that's one of the only reasons I tell people to still go to school is for networking.
That's true. I would say I definitely didn't use that tool good enough while I was. I did, but I would say I didn't expand as much as I could have.
Man, because I know me, I never had problems making friends, and I just talked to like all type of people because I never know when I'm gonna run across them again, or like even now, like with me utilizing LinkedIn and things like that. Like, oh, yeah, I remember him. You know, he was a solid dude or whatever. You know, hire him or whatever. So it's always good to make friends because you need them. Because just like you stated that your study buddy was the manager at the NOC you work at now. One of my old jobs when I first moved to Texas, one of the guys got hired, went to church with one of the managers. I was like, oh yeah, I go to church with him, you know?
Right.
And so I'm not saying he got hired off the strength of going to church with him, but on fact of just knowing him, he pretty much was, as long as he met the basic, you know, bare minimum of the, you know, qualifications, he had the position.
Yeah, man, I was reading a book by Malcolm Gladwell, and he was talking about passive relationships that you have with people. And you'd be surprised like how far your passive relationships take you in life. Like, you know, he knows people that are very connected that just send people like birthday cards, like saying happy birthday or whatever. And, you know, they don't talk to him every day, but it kind of just keeps you interconnected with those people. And like they may remember you or, you know, pass you off as a suggestion for somebody for a job just by having that passive relationship with the person.
Nice. Nice. Definitely need that book.
Yeah, Malcolm Gladwell is one of my favorite authors for sure. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I was going to bring up far as like just ask you a question about the CCNA, like how right now, if you was to have to take the CCNA, how do you think you would do?
I think I could pass it. One of my classmates took it a few months ago and failed, and then took it whenever they could again. I don't know if it's like 2 weeks or a month. I forget how long. Do you know how long it is in between if you fail? I can't remember, but anyway, she took it the second time and passed. But I would say I'm a little rusty now. I would have preferred to take it like right after, but I mean, just like I kind of like brush up on things and like I grasp it right away. So like once I schedule it and I feel like if I just study, you know, for a month, I'm fine. I would say.
Yeah. That's me still trying to fit in studying, because my studying for this certified incident responder is right. A little different since it's not straight lecture and questions. The studying is a little different, especially like I said, with it being practical. I'm going right to some of the labs over and over again. And I'm trying to get, I sent eLearn Security a DM, and they've also responded to me on LinkedIn when I've tagged them into like statuses and things like that. So I think I'm going to make a status soon saying like, how do I get a voucher to take this test?
But yeah, it's a lot of ways to get those, man. You just got to kind of do some digging.
But I will say you should look into your job, see if they'll reimburse you for it after you take it.
They will. They will. That's actually an option. But see, the school I'm attending right now, they have a grant program and they do the same as well. So like that's my first branch right there is through the school. But yeah, definitely T-Mobile. You know, after I'm done, you know, I could still utilize them to pay for other certifications and stuff like that. So.
Bet. You probably could finesse it to where you could show your job like you paid for it, but school paid for it, and then get that money on the check.
Nah, you're right though, man. You're right. That probably could work out that way too. But again, I haven't really even had a chance to try to address any of that with them, just because I was only in the NOC for a month, and I loved it, man. It was cool. Like I loved working there. I loved the setup, and then like we got sent home like a month later and been there since. It's going to be a year next week that I've been working there.
Yeah. I remember that too. You know how I'm trying to see what happened. I don't know if you was on Twitter or you said something, or I reached out and asked you about it, because yeah, everybody was working from home that time.
Right.
And me and I think my coworkers and our manager during one of our meetings, we're talking about that. It's like almost been a year. And I'm kind of like, over at this point, it's funny because people that's going to work like, nah, I want to go home. I'm like, I need the balance of like at least going to the office to make me feel a little bit more productive.
Right. And I miss, it was about a 30-minute drive to work, but I miss like that little meditation from like going from work, from home to work. But like instead of just like sitting down, you know, because you're already at home to get started and stuff like that. So.
Yeah, I remember when I first moved to DFW, I was staying in Little Elm and I used to work in Dallas/Addison because the address was Dallas, but it was Addison.
Right,
and,
right.
And so that was like a, depending on which way to drive, if I was on the tollway, it was fast, but I used to like take Coit all the way out, and that was probably like close to like 30 minutes. And you know, I could listen to a new album if it dropped, or podcast when it's big back then, but something on YouTube. It was a lot you could do in the car because that's like kind of like your time. Now a lot of people are working from home. They can't get away from their kids, their wife, you know, it's just the balance. For real, like the balance of, you know, you needing some space, you know, is been messed up, and you know, people are not handling it too well. It's like, you just try to find any reason to, you know, be by yourself. That's why you see so many people at the store or whatever they're trying to do out here. They're just trying to get some free time because it's
exactly
it's tough, you know.
Yeah, man, it's important. It's important. And some people think that isolation like means you're in a bad mood or something. It's like, nah, it's just like it's therapeutic, you know. But some people don't get it. But hey.
Yeah, I was gonna add, people have seen they work wife and work husband in a while.
No comment on that. No comment.
I got you. I think I seen somebody tweet about that on Twitter. I was like, yeah, those are the people that, and I actually just make it funny, but they do make sure like people are straight when they come at work, because it's a lot of interesting things that happen in corporate that people don't know about. Like I did a video on it, like you said, you realizing the ceiling. I realized the ceiling when I found out my own management was stopping me from interviewing with different departments and then act like they didn't know about it when the recruiter told me.
Right.
And I was like, okay. I was like, it was a point I was at work sitting down and I thought about, I know you've seen Lean on Me, right?
Yeah. Yeah. With Joe Clark. A lot of people compare my dad to Joe Clark. So I've seen that movie a lot of times.
low key though. Cause I was telling some people about that the other day, yeah. But I had thought about, I was like, man, you know what? I got bills. But I had for a short minute contemplated going in there, flipping that man desk over. Like, oh boy, did he don't lean on me.
Man, yeah, don't do that, man.
I'm like, fam, how you going to at least lie to me? Because, it's so grimy. I'm not even going to get into it. It's on the video. If you guys want to check out the video, I think the video is entitled How to Handle Corporate Politics or Office Politics, something like that.
It's on the channel. Yeah, man, it's definitely some tough waters to maneuver, especially when the water's pushing up against you.
But so just briefly, I remember, you know, we discussed this earlier about tools or anything like that. So it's not to get like super in depth, but have there been any new tools like you've been introduced to that you're, you know, going to learn about more so in your free time?
Right. I mean, there's some open source software tools we use at the NOC. I can't really discuss them because of security concerns. But I mean, there are a few things they introduce us to and that we touch on and things like that, but nothing too crazy yet. Again, it's an entry level position. I really would like to work on the racks upstairs, with the routers and switches again. But that's just a hurdle I got to jump. And to be honest with you, talking to you right here, I don't think the future of that is with T-Mobile personally, just because of my position, like through COVID and things like that. I think they're looking to hire within, and that's okay. But I'm just going to put my feelers out, like I said, as I close in on finishing up school here. So.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, now you gotta, I always tell people like a year and like tech with that experience is like really most of the time magical, because it can get you what you want, man. You know, everybody been talking about, you know, where the money reside. I mean, that's tech, because now here's another generational thing. A while back, my mom and I were having a conversation, and you know, in the older generation, if you born in maybe late 40s to like maybe like 50s, and then probably if you end at the 70s,
mm-hmm.
or maybe even like late 70s, but you know, they were taught, oh yeah, you stay at a job a long time and then, you know, you get to move on up and companies care about that. And tech is not like that, because most of the time, sometimes you might get a good situation where you're getting paid, but for the most part, you need to jump around and get your bread.
Because exactly, man. Exactly. Yeah, you got to be prepared to move to pull a LeBron and take your talents to where it's good at.
Man, big honestly. Thanks, because sometimes that little, you know, 4 to 5% raise they give you every year. I mean, it's straight, but you know, it ain't better than going somewhere and they give you a $20,000, $30,000 raise. Sometimes 40. It really just depends on the position you can get. And if you still in the live stream right now, it ain't about what you're worth, it's what you negotiate.
Remember I heard that. You say that, man. That really resonated with me. I will be honest with you and say, like, every job I've taken, I've been so happy to actually get the job. Like, and that's going back with Best Buy. And then when I, like, so when I got hired, I had to interview for Geek Squad within Best Buy. And then when I left there to come to T-Mo, like, I never, ever asked, like, oh, you know, hold on, this first offer is not going to work. Like, let's, you know, this is what I'm bringing to the table. And this is why I feel like, you know, I'm worth more of this ballpark number. I actually watched your video on that and it was really cool. So definitely shout out to you for putting that out there, because that's something that I never, ever thought of. So definitely y'all check out that video on negotiating your salary or your wages that Henri put out.
Yeah. So for me to be transparent, when I got my first security position.
And not to cut you off, but Joey got a question for you whenever you get a chance.
Yeah, we're going to probably do the questions at the end. So, hey, guys, okay. If you got questions, post them in here, then we'll answer them at the end. That way we'll dedicate more time to them and not try to rush over the questions.
Okay, cool.
But when I left the knock role and I got the first job when I was working at, you know, people already know who I was working at, but I was working at McAfee when I got the McAfee job. Well, first it was Intel. Intel had owned McAfee, then they split.
Right.
I didn't negotiate that offer because they pretty much – offered me like 30K more than what I was getting. So I was like, man, I'm out. You ain't got, but I could have negotiated. I'm going to have a HR professional on here eventually, and we're going to talk about that. They want you to counter. If whatever they offer you first, they got more to offer than that. And just, oh, no, you go ahead.
No, I was just about to say they've already like, it makes sense because they've already made the commitment to choose you. You know, if you say like, oh, I want this much and they say it's too much and kick you out. Well, now they got to go back and reevaluate the candidates and see who's best. So it really makes a lot of sense what you said, because like they've already made their mind up. So, right. So for you asking for more money, it's like I think they would rather do that than go back and reevaluate other candidates.
Yeah, definitely. And the trend is different now. Most recruiters now will contact me. And they'll ask me, what's what I'm looking for, instead of going through the process and then talking about salary. They're really more forthcoming with it now. And I have a video that I recorded that I sent to like a couple like my young guys. What was it? Yesterday, matter of fact. And I was showing them something. I applied to a position on LinkedIn. Right. LinkedIn said the salary was one thing, but the recruiter asked me what the salary would be. And I pretty much told them, this is what I pretty much said verbatim. I said, based on the location and job responsibilities, I believe the range would be, you know, between X and Y. And I'll show you afterwards. I just, right. People on here, they probably want to know, but time you show some people some, you know, they swear you got it all the time. If you say you got some money, I ain't got it if you're asking me. But literally, in doing that, she was like, yeah, we can do that. And so if you establish a range, most of the time they'll fall into the range. And when you always hit them with the area and the responsibilities, it's going to be either, okay, we can do that. If not, because I'm going to tell you, sometimes the job requirements are asking for a team of three, but wanted out of one person. And I'm like, nah, that ain't it, chief. Right. I'll go somewhere else. I ain't going to overwork myself for y'all. Especially for, trying to lowball somebody. Like I made that. What's going on, everyone? You're listening to Let's Talk Tech, and it's being brought to you by Anchor. If you hadn't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. They have a creation tool that allows you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you on sites like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. I post on Twitter about saying, you know,
I saw that.
And talking about Alexa Play, You Play by Moneybag.
Right.
I'm like, CISSP is supposed to be for professionals that had like 5 years of information security.
Right, exactly.
A junior person not going to have that. And they shouldn't have it. I mean, that's not even a technical cert per se. It's more so for you to know more things about like the environment and like being like a manager slash director. Like that's what that cert is more geared toward. I mean, it's good to have. A lot of people get it because they think it's just going to get them, you know, 100K, which most of the time it can if you know what you're talking about.
Right. And I don't know if it was in another video of yours that you mentioned this, but it's another good point to bring up is what you're saying is I don't think a lot of companies a lot of times like even realize what they're asking for. Right. Because like you said, that's kind of like those two things don't even marry up together. So when you're applying for these jobs and don't be intimidated, and it's something I'm trying to tell myself now as well, but don't be intimidated by all these requirements, because a lot of times they may not even understand. And if you go in there and interview well and present yourself well, you know, you can shoot your shot and get the job, like Henri was saying in one of his videos, because they're going to train you how to do the job regardless. Like any job you go to, you're going to have to get trained. So.
Thanks. And honestly, a part of jobs that I think I put this on Twitter too, but if you know you're not qualified for a part of them anyway, and you get the interview, it's going to show you what they're looking for. Like,
right. Right.
Some of these last couple of interviews, I didn't get those positions, but I've been learning stuff within them. Like, and these have been some higher up positions. Like, one of them was like the pretty much the Korean Amazon, and that position that I was applying to was like a pretty high up. Like,
the right
salary was nice, but I was learning some different things from what they're looking for, and that helps you stay sharp.
Right.
And that's also why I chose tech as well, because it's always changing. Like, you're gonna start seeing. Just like me, we're seeing different stuff bringing in like every 2 years, 4 years, stuff is changing, which keeps you on your toes.
It's 2 years, man, it's starting to get faster than that.
Yeah, but I only say that because of adoption. Like it'll come out, but companies are slow to adopt.
Yeah, so. That's true. That's true.
Because it costs so much money to do technology refreshes.
Right.
So I would say that. So guys, I didn't want to make this like a salary thing, but definitely, you know, get the bag, because money that you're trying to count on for tomorrow might not be there. And that's, I recently got off of my post when I bought my mom, but I was telling her that I'm not leaving any money on the table. If I'm at one company right here, but company B said they're going to offer me $40,000 more, I'm going over there, because if I try to stay with company A for 2 years and then I get to the marketplace, the value might have went down. Like,
right.
Look at the world now. Some companies that you would have worked at probably can't go to because of, you know, COVID and, you know, the economy and business hasn't been as good. Like one of the jobs I think I was interested in what 3 years ago was Hilton. Hilton was doing some stuff with their InfoSec program. Mm-hmm. And I said in one of my interviews, I said, you know, hindsight's 2020, that might have not been, you know, a good area to go into looking at how the hotel industry has suffered now. So that's why you just never leave the money on the table. You always get it.
Right. Most definitely, man. Most definitely know your worth and get the most out of it, because I guarantee you there's going to come a day where they work the hell out of you. So you make sure you get every penny.
Facts. And all they do is see you as a number. They'll lay you off in a second. And it ain't business. I mean, it's not personal. It's just business.
Most definitely. Agreed.
Let's see what we want to get you out at. But so you said you got to work in the actual physical Knox for about a month.
Right.
And so how many screens they had in there? I know they had a lot of screens in the Knox.
Here, Joey, you got another question, but Henri was saying that we were going to address them at the end. I'm sorry, Henri. I just wanted to tell him that. But what was the last part of your question?
I was saying, like, how many screens they had in there?
Oh, man. Too many. I don't think I ever even sat back and counted them the 1 month I was there. But yeah, I mean, too many. It was like the way I would describe it to people was it was literally like ours was set up kind of like NASA. And I don't know if everybody's knock is like that, but it had the rows and they kind of like escalated up. Right. And they had like stairs that when everybody had a motorized desk, everybody had two monitors. It was real cool, man. I had never like worked in a place like that. Like Geek Squad, like I said, it was an office connected to a warehouse, you know? So, you know, at the Knock, you know, you got to have your door badge to get in, which I still have over here. You got to have your door badge to get in. You got to badge in pretty much through four doors to get to where you're going. It's real secure. So it was a cool experience, man. I really like it. But a lot of screens, most definitely, to answer the questions.
And that's in, I'm going to say that's over there at Parkwood, right? In Frisco?
Parkwood or Prestonwood, is it Prestonwood, something like that? Yeah. Didn't, I mean, again, like I said, I was only driving over there for about a month, so I passed by it a few times because like I do drive out to Frisco a few times, or I won't say a few times, just like frequently on the weekends, just to kind of get out of Denton to go eat lunch or something like that. So I pass by it a lot, but it's a ghost town there, man. They're not talking about bringing us back till June.
Yeah, I know they sent the thing out for us in December. We was going to go at least through March, but I know for a fact it's probably going to go longer than that.
Right.
But I got to get back to the office, at least get my characters out of there, because you got your people on there. I got.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, I got my. See, I already had all this at the house. I didn't even bring any of that stuff with me to the new job at T-Mobile. Like I said, I wasn't even there long enough. But yeah, you definitely need to go get your stuff, man.
Man, I got the little pop figures. I got Akeem from Coming to America. I think I got Black Panther. I got Miles Morales. I got the picture somewhere. I think it's on my Instagram. But yeah, they made my desk worthwhile.
Oh yeah, man, it's definitely a good aesthetic to have on the desk. If you haven't invested in some Funko Pops and you got a computer desk and you're working at home, definitely do it. It'll definitely brighten your day a little bit.
And try to get one of those motorized desks. Like this desk I'm using, I never knew that I'd be sitting at this desk for this all long. The hours I sit at it. But
right.
Once I get rid of this one, I'm just going to order me a motorized one because I need to stand up sometimes.
I like them. I like motorized, but also I got an L shape right now. So, I mean, I really, like you said, I got my two rigs right here. So I really like having the L shape. But motorized are really nice, though. They really are.
Or since you said that, I might keep this one and make it the L where it's stationary. And then the other one, that the main one is motorized. Cause
that's a good idea, too.
This sitting down stuff, man. It for the birds.
Yeah,
got my lucky shirt on. Yeah, but when we were in the knock, I mean, we used like some basic stuff. Like, well, I guess my friend Marquise is at work, but it's funny. He works for the same company I used to work for 5 years ago when I moved. Hey, he's been there 5 years. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, sorry about that, guys. We used like simple stuff like that's why I first introduced the Splunk. That's why I told you about it because
right. I remember you telling me about that. Am I tripping or do they have a building in Dallas?
Yeah, they do. They got
okay. I thought it was like maybe some other company named Splunk or something like that, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they have a presence in Dallas. But that's when I learned about Splunk. I was like, man, this is pretty cool. And if you get to ever go to one of their conferences, man, it's fun.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out. Do they have like stuff like that in Dallas frequently?
Well,
I guess not right now, of course,
with COVID, but, right. Probably no, but like right. My company threw one, like I worked for Optiv, so we had OptivCon like in 2019 at the star they had OptivCon, so that was pretty cool. They had a lot of their vendors and partners there.
Yeah, getting a little glare in here, sorry, my bad.
But, no, you're good. I think we had Splunk to monitor like some of the systems we used, Nagios. And what was it? What's Up Gold? I think that was like the main tools I think that we use. Oh, and Zendesk and I forgot what the other one was. But if I was to tell people, you know, right now, maybe basic stuff, I really couldn't tell them a lot of networking stuff. I mean, like I said, most of the time, depending on your NOC, it's going to be like a lot of monitoring. But I will say learn how to, you know, documentation is going to always be key.
Right.
Any job. And I don't know, you don't have to get into your incident process, I guess. But while you've been there, do you guys have your fair share of incidents or is it mostly quiet?
It really just depends, man. It's very random. But I mean, of course we have our fair share. I wouldn't say it's just quiet throughout the week, but some days we've been at work and I mean, it's just nothing. It is like the best job ever. They passing out food to everybody and all kind of stuff. And you know how I can get in the knot because some people do 12s. You know, they work 12 hours or more. So, you know, it's a real laid back place. You eat at your desk. I've never seen anything like it. Like at Geek Squad, you know, no drinks at your desk, no phone, no nothing, you know, nothing. And it's like, bro, like when you actually get like a job that like wants to like they want you to do your job, of course, but they're also there to take care of you and stuff like that, and you see that and feel that, it's a world of difference, man. So but yeah, it's a really cool experience working there.
Yeah, we do 4-10s right now, so everybody pretty much has an off day during the week.
That's pretty cool. Do y'all have an off day during the week and then weekends off as well?
So tier twos do. We only work Monday through Friday, so
gotcha.
My off day right now is on Thursdays.
Gotcha.
But the level ones, they some of them have an off day on the weekend, just depending on how does it fit, but they have to work weekends and nights.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, I started off on I worked every schedule you could think of. When I did help desk, man, I used to come in at 4 a.m, 5 a.m. I came in at night and worked in the morning. It was fun though. I mean, when we first started, I was on a contract before right. I was brought over to CSRA, and they was like, hey, look, we got, matter of fact, they was like, you know what? Y'all don't even have to tell us if you want to do overtime. Just come in when you want. Man, I was coming.
You were eating, huh?
Man, I used to go to game machines and get like, you know, cheap DVDs. And I just come in at nighttime because back then you probably only get like 3 calls at night. And I'd
right.
work on my off days. And shoot, I'd be watching Friday and stuff like that in the laptop.
Yeah, I don't blame you, man. Yeah, it's real. I like how they really do. Like, if you work long hours, they definitely go to an extent to make it comfortable for you to work those long hours when you work in the NOC. So that's cool.
Yeah, I really like that. And what you also said about the company treating you right thing, it's one of the things that you realize is like, it depends on the job, but certain companies know the mindset of some of the people that work for them.
Right.
They know that some of the people believe that's as best as it'll get for them, so they're not going to mess that up. It's one of the reasons why I mention to people a lot of times why Shreveport region, why it's underpaid. It's because they can, well, for one, I'll say, you know, of course, cost of living in Shreveport isn't that much compared to others, but
right,
they still underpay for the average just for some things to be paid. And it's because a lot of people don't know. A lot of people, without exception, people been around like their parents or aunts and uncles that had some bread, they don't really know what money looks like. So to them, you know, $12, $15 an hour, you know, is a lot of money.
Right.
But when you start breaking it down, federal and state taxes, it's really you're not. And then sometimes they try to offer that to people who have bachelor's and master's.
Right.
And they're wondering why people are leaving the city. Right. And they wonder why people are leaving. Like, people waking up like, man, hey, y'all don't appreciate my talent. I'm going to go somewhere that do. Then I don't have to worry about, you know, somebody getting shot right by me.
Right. Yes. Yeah, it's ridiculous, man. Like this. It's, I guess, I don't know really what it is. If it's arrogance or ignorance with the market of jobs, with the way how they present some of these jobs, like at these low pay wages or salaries and expecting all of this experience.
Yeah, it's that. And I also say what also probably hurts, you know, the hometown is the education level. It's right. probably lower. So if our education doesn't increase, then companies aren't going to come there.
Right. And
I don't blame them because they want to have people that they, you know, at least believe are smart enough to do the job. So that's pretty much what goes into that. I could have probably like a whole stream on like why you should leave Shreveport, which it might be pretty fun.
Nah, man, you're gonna make some people mad with that. Don't do that.
But I think I'm gonna make that, if y'all watching still, I'm probably gonna make it like a group panel. Like people just like maybe like six of us will be on here and we'll just be talking about it. I'll see who wanna do it. I think it'd be, you know, thoroughly entertaining.
Yeah, I wouldn't say like just get out of Shreveport, because I mean, some people, you know, stay in Shreveport and do well, and you know, or they may stay and help and develop others or anything like that. But I would say if it crosses your mind to leave Shreveport, then do it. That's what I would say.
Yeah, well, mine is only for the people who know they deserve better, but their respective professions don't treat them right.
Because right.
you're noticing,
I can get it from that point of view.
You're noticing cops leaving Shreveport and firemen have started leaving Shreveport in droves.
Oh yeah, bro. Even when I was a fireman, man, I never desired to work in Shreveport. Like that was like one of the lowest paid like cities for a fireman, like in the region. Like I'm talking about like Arklatex like type thing. So like it's bad. So I don't blame them for leaving at all.
Yeah, it's crazy because it's one of the better fire departments as far as like how they operate. Just.
Mm-hmm.
They're just
efficient.
Super busy. Like I was talking to Tasby. Shout out to that boy Tasby.
Mm-hmm.
He working in Frisco now. He's like, compared to, you know, Shreveport, this is a breeze.
Yeah, and then look, in Frisco, they're starting at anywhere between 60 and 80, where in Shreveport, you start at 30 entry level. So, you know, like, that's way better. And I think Frisco is privately owned. So like the promotion system is not the same as if you work for a city, but I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't know he was working out here.
Yeah, it's a lot of them out there.
Joey said 318 registered for life.
But yeah, Harold, I'm going to do the panel. But hey, if y'all still in here, drop the questions. Let's get to answer some of these questions.
Yeah, here, I think I got, I can't scroll. Let's see if I can see Joey's last one.
I'm going to go back to Joey's first one because he
okay, asked cool.
What program do y'all recommend for high school students start using to get intro to computer networking? You can take a stab at that first.
Program? I would say like just, here, what's the name of this? Oh, Packet Tracer. Packet Tracer is definitely, now Packet Tracer, I wouldn't say teaches them how to use it. It's called Cisco Packet Tracer, but it is a tool for them. So like if they want to be able to get like, get hands-on experience with a router and a switch, not necessarily hands-on, but kind of like a simulation of how to build a network, they could do that. Now there's a really good YouTube channel out there with the guy, what's his name? I got a tab right here.
Network Chuck.
Network Chuck. That's who I was just about to tell you about. Yeah, Network Chuck does some great examples online. And I mean, they could partner with Packet Tracer to try to duplicate some of those things or even Nmap or any of those things and go from there. But I would say YouTube is a great tool, but then you got to know how to search it to get what you're looking for. But Packet Tracer is definitely like a good place to start.
Yeah, definitely. I would say, because network isn't, you know, isn't my forte, but I've noticed there's been younger kids who have been studying for stuff like, you know, Network Plus and things of that nature to where they at least get a start. And what they also, I think I told you this, Joey, but I don't know what age you have to be, but Bipsy offers networking classes where you could take, I think they give you a voucher to take Network Plus. So if you go through a semester class at Bipsy, I think that class might be what, $300 maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually about to go the programming route and I took a Network Plus class because it was a prerequisite. And like my professor there got me into Cisco, like CCNA. And like I kind of just went that route and been doing it since. So yeah, I love network. I love networking.
Yeah. But I think it's around $200-$300. I'll have to fact check that for you. But what that'll do is give you a slow way to gradually feed you information to see if you like it. And then, you know, at the end, you take your Network Plus and, you know, Network Plus certified. Because I took, matter of fact, while I was doing help desk, I took that class at Bipsy. And it had, you know, labs and everything you could do. Mm-hmm. And it was cool. I'm going to put all this stuff in the chat. Another site I love and I tell people to use is Cybrary. I do Cybrary IT. And this site right here that I'm using the study for, what's the site I'm doing? The ECIR.
I see your question, Harold. We got you.
INE.com. Yeah. Okay. I see what Joey's saying. Money is the issue. So what you can do now that you're going to always either hopefully get a voucher because they're not going to let you take the test for free because CompTIA want that bread. But it's enough material online that can still show them networking things.
And Joey, I was, you should really partner with my dad and see if like you can partner with the school board about getting a grant for a lot of that stuff. Cause you're actually like trying to put a program together for some kids. So I think if you put something together and present it well enough, you can get like Cattle Parish to pay for a lot of that.
And if I'm not mistaken, Joey, I think they do that at the Career Center as well. Cause I think my younger cousin had his CSET or something when he was at the Career Center or something like that.
I didn't even know they offered that there. I did digital media Career Center. See, that's something like, again, I completely skipped over because I didn't have anybody to even point me in that direction.
So I'm going to ask him about that. Let me see if Marquisa answer while I'm doing this. Let's see what the other one that Joey asked. Boom. Do I believe in company loyalty? No, I do not, because they don't believe in being loyal to me. Because at the end of the day, everything they're doing is, you know, for the best interest of the business, and I respect it. I mean, I'm a small business owner now, so when I do stuff, it's not personal, it's just business, so I definitely understand.
Yeah, I gotta be careful how I answer that question because some of these viewers might use it against me in a sports argument later. But I'm a firm believer in always doing what's best for you because the company's always gonna do what's best for them. So, you know, if you get an opportunity to move on, I think you should definitely, you know, and you got more benefits, more pay and things like that, like definitely leave. Now, if you know you're on a trajectory to be somewhere greater, you know, in 5 years versus like taking that job that may pay you more in the now, you know, of course you should stay. Of course you should stay loyal to that company. But, you know, how solid is that? How solid is that trajectory? Like, who do you know that's like, you know, saying that you should stay for such and such reason and blah, blah, blah. But as long as you have, you know, those things ironed out, you know, those are the two, I would say, biggest factors that you got to weigh when deciding on company loyalty.
Yeah, I like to add in, like, if you got a company that's like maybe like a union job or something like that, that's different because the union gonna fight for you. But
right,
other than that, no. And let me tell you what really showed me loyalty don't mean nothing. When the Colts let Peyton Manning go.
That was your first experience with that heartbreak?
I just realized, you know, it don't mean nothing. I'm trying to see, you know, why the Saints held on to Drew Brees so long, which they should have been letting him go.
Yeah, he's coming back. He's coming back.
He better not come back to the Saints. So it's gonna be a long season.
Oh, no, it's already he's already coming back. Man, he took the veterans minimum.
I seen him take the minimum to help the cap space, but he shouldn't be there. If I'm Jameis, I go somewhere else. Because check this out. I know this is supposed to be a sports stream, but Carson Wentz looked horrible, and he still probably go start somewhere. Jameis really didn't have a lot of continuity when it came to coaches. And still was straight. Yeah, he threw some turnovers, but all over his fault. We see Godwin still dropping balls.
Right.
So, I mean, He still threw a lot of touchdowns and yards. I mean, that could be corrected.
Yeah, don't get me started, man. I could, Harold and Joey know I can talk hours on end about sports. So I'm over here containing myself right now. So
I know how you feel, especially being a Bulls fan.
Oh, yeah. Nah, we're not going to talk about them right now at all. At all.
Let's see. So I think we answered Joey. Let's go to Harold's.
Yep.
What characteristics do you need to get into programming? Honestly, funny you ask that. Like when I have consultations with people who don't know what they want to do, I ask them like what their interests are. And I was talking to someone to where I made the decision, or it was a guy that I helped realize about something about programming because he hadn't been in the field in a while. But I would say people that pay attention to detail, or maybe people that have a slight creative side, because if you know how to code and you do the syntax right, you pretty much can create it to do whatever. So
right,
paying attention to detail, being creative. But also it could be a person who's not that social that likes to code. They just like to sit down and code. They don't want to interact with anybody. It might be, right, you know, more of a introverted person that might be good at programming.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You brought up syntax. So people that's watching that don't know what that is. It's just basically like how you like format or line up like the code you're writing. So, you know, a syntax can be, you know, each language has their own syntax or whatever, but I was going to tell Harold, a characteristic you need is to be able to, I guess, to like open your mind up and be able to read something that's completely different and be prepared to understand it. If you can, like, I guess, cause like coding is not hard, but it's like, they do have like certain concepts that you have to understand or else you won't. And it's very foundational and you won't understand it all. So, cause I took like a brief class on like object oriented programming languages, like with C# and Python and Perl and stuff like that. And it wasn't like in depth on either of them. It kind of just took you to like a brief overview of them, but like, it's definitely something that like, once you read it and understand it after a while, it comes to you. So if you can do that, I believe you can get into it and put the time in.
Yeah. And I also like to add, honestly, with programming, it's just like learning a foreign language.
Right.
You just got to work on it and stay practical with, you know, learning a foreign language so you could use it properly.
Right.
Learning Spanish in high school. Yeah. Learning Spanish with Miss Chamberlain. I wasn't able to learn it. All I knew was Uno. So. Let me see. Joey says, when do you feel like you reached your potential at a company? Do you have signs to tell you that you're at your ceiling? To be quite frank, I know from probably like the first or second week what my ceiling may or may not be. And that's, I look at the positions above me and see who looks like me. Mm. If I don't see anybody that looks like me, then I know, okay, this is a place where they're going to cap you. So, you know, get your experience, you know, get any free certs and training you can, and then, you know, go to the next place because you know what your ceiling is. And right. that's one of those things that is, you know, discussed a lot in diversity in tech groups that I'm in. And like our company has gave us our own, like, you know, network just for Black people. And one of the comments I think I made was, hey, well, we see, you know, a C-level exec that looks like us, you know, for the company.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's very important, you know, because it's just like we see it. I mean, I think everything can always correlate to like music and sports. Because as we're seeing now, when we got in the NFL, you know, look at the league, you know, how it's made up, but look at, you know, the representation of our head coaches or, you know, NBA, same thing. Like your boy Steven Silas in Houston could have a better team if Harden still want to be there. You know, it's not typical that somebody walks in the situation that has like, you know, MVP on MVP level caliber player on the team to be successful.
Right.
Or how it wasn't reversed, how Mark Jackson didn't inherit Steph and them. He had to build them up for Steve Kerr, or how Tony Dungy built up the team for, you know, Gruden. It happens all the time. And we don't always get those chances to come in and be successful. And if we do, we pretty much overqualify where we should have been, had our shot years ago. But what I found out is in this space is a lot of these C-level execs have been rotated from company to company. Granted, they do know, some of them know what they're doing because, you know, they, you know, help people be, you know, productive. But at the same time, some people never get a shot to learn what they're doing. And that's one of the things that I see. So hopefully that changes.
Yeah, for me, I saw my ceiling when Best Buy is like a company that definitely tries to, you know, push and say, oh, you know, we promote development. We want the best version of you. We want you to have as many opportunities as possible. But then, you know, that's definitely like pinning on the people above you directly. Right. And you see how they develop other people and how much time and effort they put into it. And it's definitely like it's a two-way street for sure. But, you know, when you see certain opportunities get handed out and you know you're doing the right things, and maybe sometimes you see that person like slacking off in some areas that you know you excel in, and they're still getting presented these opportunities, that's what I identify as a ceiling. And when you know it's really time for you to start looking at other options. But, you know, everybody, I think, has their own definition of that, but I think it's some sort of version of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, don't get me started. That's why I feel for, you know, my clients when people ain't getting them chances. Cause I'm like, I work with some of these people that I wouldn't have hired. And I'm like, I would gladly take some of y'all that don't know anything, cause y'all will work 10 times harder than some of these people I got on the team. You know,
right.
It just never made sense to me. I was like, you know, you have to, the reason why I'm not ready for management is sometimes you not have to beg, but just constantly telling, you know, grown people, hey, I don't ask you to do a lot. Just do your job. Just do what you have to do. Do what's right. Documented and just do it. Stop being lazy. I shouldn't have to tell grown people to not be lazy for something that's not, you know, physically demanding that you're getting paid, you know, very good for. I shouldn't have to do that. That's kind right. of stuff that gets on my nerves. And I'm like, I'm over it. Joey says, stop teaching kids Spanish and haven't picked up Java or Python. I say both, man, because out here or in Texas, you know, knowing Spanish is going to take you far. You know, you're going to get paid more too for being bilingual.
I was going to say, I read somewhere that Mandarin is a really good language to learn in like computer information or computer technology world, because if you like plan on being an ambassador for your company that travels or something like that, that's normally where you might end up. But Spanish, like Texas, like you said, I mean, the Spanish is advantageous for any career in Texas, for sure, off top.
Yeah, so I mean, like I said, I pull out Google Translate and see if it's helping me with that.
Yeah. Yeah, but man, Mandarin, like that's like the money currency language in China and, you know, like mm-hmm. all those big networking like moguls out there and stuff like that. That's the language that's used.
Yeah. I want to learn Japanese though, man. Japanese is like I went along for the day where I ain't got to read the subtitles, where I understand exactly what
right.
they say.
That would be cool to watch something like an anime and I have to read subtitles. It's a nice sounding language. I like it, but I am trying to learn Spanish right now. It's an app called Duolingo that I kind of practice on every now and then, but yeah.
Yeah, because I had a coworker, shout out to Willie. I don't know if Willie where my channel yet, but Willie did a lot of time in Japan, and Willie would bring me, like, I'll say, what's the Japanese word today? And, you know, he'd break it down and say it because he knows how to, like, enunciate it. Like,
right.
That's another thing when it comes to speaking a different language. Like, they might not know what you're saying because you're saying it wrong. You're trying to say it like you in English.
Right. Here go Joey and Harold going in the comments. Oh boy.
Hey, people that's watching this live stream, if y'all want to know how Joey look, go watch First Kid with Sinbad. That dude looks just like Joey. But since we like we're at the end of the stream, we just, you know, talk about like some random stuff. I see you got, you know, the Naruto stuff there. So I'm gonna assume that's your favorite anime.
Yeah, man. And what's crazy is I've been trying to get Harold to watch it. He still hasn't started yet, or he's claimed he started. But anyway, I was a huge Dragon Ball fan. Huge. I'm talking about like into my 20s. Like, I did not think that there was something else that I would like more than Dragon Ball. And like, come to find out, that's really cliche. And they got like a lot of animes out there that tell great stories. But Naruto is one, which is kind of at this point, like one of the cliche ones at this point, but, it really resonated with me, his story. Cause like, if you watch anime at all, Dragon Ball is like more about just power leveling and getting stronger and stuff. I feel like Naruto has a way deeper story than Dragon Ball, you know, like Dragon Ball is kind of like, you know, you got Dragon Ball Z and the Frieza saga, then they have the Android saga, and then you get into GT and it kind of gets lost in like, what's the actual story going on? You know, then they got Super and that's a different, you know, arc. And so anyway, but Naruto is kind of like one story all the way through and it's really good. So
yeah.
It's definitely my favorite.
Yeah. Me and Jason are always into it about Dragon Ball Z. Like, Dragon Ball was great because Dragon Ball made Goku focus on techniques and they get stronger in ways to win his fights. Not just train until, you know, his hair turn yellow and, you know, he can yell. Like, it probably should have stopped at Frieza because
honestly, because now the Android saga would have been fine.
Not, I guess, but what you see them doing in Super now is that they making Goku and Vegeta learn like different techniques to win fights, something they should have been doing.
Right. But it's just it's just they're always coming up with something like crazy. Look, Harold said we're hating. But nah, it's just they're always coming up with something crazy, like Ultra Instinct. And then like now I just read the other day on Twitter that it's something better than Ultra Instinct.
Oh yeah, yeah. It
and
is.
It's like now it's like isn't there like different versions? I was like, oh my God, like.
But I can't be mad at it because they do the same thing for Superman. They always make a Superman stronger. So I can't be mad.
But we both know that Superman is nowhere near strong as they got Goku right now. Like, nowhere near.
Do you watch Death Battle?
What is it? Is it like one of those things where they compare like the strength of different characters and stuff?
Yeah, and so
I've seen stuff like that.
Yeah, so they factor in like a lot of stuff, and every time they did two things, I think Goku versus Superman, they always go to the newest edition where they gave Superman all these powers, and because you know. They're able to quantify a lot of their stuff because of what they do when it comes to like, oh, Superman went from the moon to here. We know the moon distance from the sun is this. And they're able to quantify to say, okay, they're about, you know, equal in speed and stuff like that. So, I mean, that stuff is pretty cool.
Yeah. Joey said the Cell saga was the peak of Dragon Ball Z. When I said Android saga, I mean, technically Cell was an Android. So like I included all of that in there. But yeah, the Cell saga was like the best part.
You got a point. I mean, they should have let Gohan take over for me, but we know how that went.
Yeah, it's just like the story, like after the Cell saga is too muddy. Like from like Dragon Ball all the way up to the Cell saga, like it was streamlined, you know? Like, but like after that, and they got into GT, and like it just seemed like
GT don't even count.
Just seemed like Majin Buu was kind of random type thing, right? You know, and like all of that what happened with him, and then it just got crazy, you know. But anyway, but yeah, I think anybody that, especially now that football season is going to be over tomorrow, shout out Kansas City Chiefs. I think if you haven't watched Naruto yet, that will literally last you until next football season. Cause I did that. After football season, it was about April and I was bored and somebody suggested to watch Naruto. And yeah, I mean, I couldn't stop watching it, man. So Harold, well, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to comment on Joey talking about Jujutsu Kaisen. Yeah, I actually just started watching that. It's pretty cool. But the animation is still not on Demon Slayer's level.
Yeah. I'm going to have to check out some new shows because, like, Naruto has become, like, cliche now. Like, everybody knows about Naruto now, right? Like, nobody was really watching Naruto back in, like, 08 when it was, like, running live, you know? So.
Hey, nah, you want me to tell you a secret? Like, me and a couple of my friends, like Naruto, I was first introduced to Naruto, I think I was in middle school. So, like, I grew up on Naruto.
And that's cool. That's what's up.
So what y'all don't know is, like, after our football games on Fridays, once I would get home, I would go on the site I used to use to read the new manga that came out because it used to come out on Fridays. So I was keeping up with all that, like, through school. And I think by the time I got to college, I think Naruto finally ended. I had to remember because in 2015. Yeah, so
you had to watch it in, like, Japanese. Like, when I watched it, it was, like, half in English and half in Japanese. I think they got it all the way in English now, like, on Hulu now.
But see, I was used to that because my uncles, like, they used to get the Japanese Dragon Ball Z from Sam Goody back in the day. So,
dang, Sam Goody, that's way back.
Yeah, so when everybody was watching the Toonami stuff, we was way past that. Like, we had been seeing the Androids and Cell. We had been past that already.
Right.
So we always just watched matter of fact, I'm going to take a picture of the trunk of tapes so everybody can know I'm not capping when it comes to autumn tapes. Anyway, these are VHS tapes too. That's how you know it's real.
That's cool. I really do wish I read the manga of Naruto before, even though that is expensive to collect all of that. But I do wish, like, because the drawing is way better in there. And then sometimes there's some context that they may have in the manga that's not in the actual anime. That's pretty cool. So
yeah,
but Naruto, man, I'm talking about, you're talking about 500 episodes of, like, gold. And anybody that needs the guide of what episodes to skip to the fillers, hit me up. I email them to you. I know I already sent them to Harold because I looked at my email list the other day. He still hadn't watched it yet, but that's all right. We're going to get Harold to watch Naruto and get him to make a decision on which one is better.
Right. But so I won't drag this out long.
Got you.
What I'm going to tell you that is good that I used to dismiss because I didn't like how I looked at first is One Piece.
Man, I can't get with the go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm going to tell you. You're probably going to say the same thing I used to say. But after football season, watch episode one and keep watching. You'll be like, man, Luffy don't waste time. All he do is throw hands. and you're going to start liking it because I think it's like the longest running. They still got new episodes coming out. And it's pretty good. Very good story.
See, man, that's a lot, though. Like, how many episodes are out already?
I think it's like 800.
Wow.
But they go by fast, and you'll be able to, like, okay. I mean, you can watch it at the time. Like, Jason's caught up. I'm not caught up because I hadn't really been able to watch it. You can watch that, or you can watch, shout out to TG. TG put me on JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. JoJo pretty good too. Because JoJo is the anime that kind of went viral that had the Jodeci outro.
I got you. I remember that. The one I kind of watch halfway through that I need to go back and watch is Full Metal Alchemist. That one's not that long and it's pretty good, but I just never finished it.
Yeah, I never finished either. I got some short stuff for you. If y'all in the comments, I got some short stuff that y'all can watch that's like freaking one season, two seasons long. Like Akame ga Kill is like one of my favorite, you know, animes, and it's super short on Hulu. And anybody will love it. Or Kenichi.
Harold, go watch Naruto, man. It's not really 500 episodes. Like, it is 500 some episodes, but like, it's really like 320 that you're supposed to watch. Well, but I promise you, you won't feel like you watched you'll be mad that it's over when it ended. Like, you're going,
well, he gotta go to the first part, then he gotta go to Shippuden.
Yeah, but like the first part is only like, it's like in total, like the first part of Naruto and Shippuden combined, like when they're adults, is like 500 some episodes, but you really only need to watch like 300 something to get
you
the story.
You do, but I will say they did have some interesting filler sometimes that I liked, like Bakakashi when he was younger or Itachi stuff.
Yeah, there is some filler that's good, but yeah, but I mean, you kind of stumble upon it on your own because like it'll be like a story that's like an episode that's ending that you need to watch and it'll start it and you'll know if it's like some filler that's actually good. But yeah.
And then before we end, Joey, I've told you this before, but I'm going to let you know that Attack on Titan is trash.
I've heard so many good things about
I'm perfectly fine with, like, I could live and never see an episode of Attack on Titan again and be okay. That's how you know it's not good. It's really not that good.
I heard good things, but
I mean, as I try to get into the story, like, story is okay. It's just, for me, it's just weird. I really can't get into it. I mean, you know, you got people like Captain Levi and all them on there.
Right.
It just, I don't know. It just, I don't really care for it. I'd rather watch JoJo's, One Piece, Demon Slayer. And then for people who don't like, you know, regular anime, try Promised Neverland. It's pretty cool.
Right.
I think you'll like that. But you know, any more last questions, guys? I know I didn't mean to turn this into an anime podcast.
Yeah, man. I didn't think this interview was gonna last over an hour, but I enjoy every minute of it. I feel like we had some really good conversations. We touched on some really good issues that I think both of us, I know me, Joey, and Harold, we talk all the time about a lot of the things we touched on. So it felt really good to be able to kind of like broadcast that out and get that to some other people and have some discussions with them too. So appreciate you having me.
Yeah, man. You want to tell them where they can find you at?
You can find me on Twitter at Prez Facebush. That's Twitter at Prez Facebush. That's pretty much the only social network I use, I would say, on a public platform. Everything else is a little bit more personal. But yeah, like that's the Twitter is wide open if you want to follow me there. I do have a Twitch account. It's under the same President Facebush, Prez Facebush, whichever one you search there, you'll find me. I stream video games and we may have to get on there and just do some more talks like this, man. This may be our little niche to do. So I may have to connect with you a few more times because I really did enjoy the conversation. So
yeah, that's a bet. I plan maybe we could utilize this on like Clubhouse as well.
Right. That would be cool.
But you guys know where to find me. I'm on LinkedIn. He's about being down.
Yeah, so Ari, you might have to come. You're in Frisco still, right?
My information is G14 classified.
All right.
I'll let you know as soon as we end the stream.
Okay. But, cool.
You guys, you know where to catch me at. Make sure you follow the podcast on Spotify or Anchor. It's on a whole bunch of sites. I'm waiting for it to get on Apple Podcasts, but this stream will be uploaded at 8 a.m. on Monday morning. So you guys be sure to tune in if you want something to drive to work and listen to. But you know, appreciate everybody. And all that you do.
Appreciate you having me. Thank y'all for tuning in, man. Y'all have a good day.
Make sure you share it everywhere. We out.